Cool. Evening, everyone. I feel like it's been quite a while since I've been here, and it's nice to be back and to see everyone. And I don't particularly have a lot to say, but I feel like it's important that I say something. This is our last Thursday evening of the summer. And I haven't been here for a few weeks, so I think it's important. And if maybe I run out of things to say, then you will have some things to say. I don't know. So it's I'm still kind of landing after my travels, even though I came back Saturday night, and here we are Thursday night, but it just seems like it takes a while, especially with the huge relative space and time that it involves going across an ocean and halfway across a continent and then back. So it's a lot of, and then there's of course language and culture that are different, and different activities and different people. And then add to that changes in the people, like in my mother, for example, or my sister, to somehow things change. You know, this is our life. And also making the journey with my daughter, who I think the last time that she and I traveled alone to America, she was probably 6 years old. And she is now 37. So that also was very particular. So I'm sitting with all of this and feeling at times like where, when thinking to where I was a week ago, it seems like a dream, kind of unreal. And when I was there a week ago, this here seems like a dream, unreal. And yet they're all equally dream and unreal, or not dream and not unreal. And wherever, you know, so I mentioned the space and the time in the relative realm. But the experience is actually of always being here and now, wherever it is. So that too is a really important realization. And we all have that and know that. And I really like, well, a couple of poems. The poet Gertrude Stein, the great American writer Gertrude Stein, who said, "When you get there, you see that there is no there." And people used to interpret this, or some people, as being she was talking about where she was born and grew up, which was Oakland, California. When she said this, or this was in the context of her biography or something. And so people interpreted that her as her saying, you go to Oakland, California, and it's like just so nothing. It's like worthless. There's no there. There's nothing there to see. But that's not what she meant. She meant this experience that we have of wherever we are, we're here. So there's not there. When you get there, it's not there, it's here. And in the, kind of in that same vein, there's the great haiku of Isa, who was a lay Buddhist practitioner, so he wasn't a monk, but he was like a wandering poet practitioner whose life was just filled with tragedy. I think he had, you know, four children or something, and they all died. And then his fifth child survived, but he died before the child was born. and his three previous wives all died. And so his life was just, filled with loss and regret and things like that. And so his most famous poem is, and I actually put it at the beginning of one of my books. Sometimes there's quotes at the beginning of books, and I put this quote at the beginning of the book. And it's or this poem, and the poem is, "This world of dew." Dew is, the rosé du matin, the dew. "This world of dew is this world of dew, and yet." So this world of dew is, it's really, it's impermanent, and it's talking about the fleeting dew is this little bead of moisture that appears on the plants in the morning, and then, or on the ground in the morning, and then by the time the sun comes, it's gone. And yet in that one dewdrop, as Dogen famously said, talks about a moon, everything is reflected in that dewdrop. He says a moon in the dewdrop, but that's referring to a moon is referring to enlightenment. The everything is in that dewdrop, and it's all impermanent. And yet, we can experience that dewdrop. We can experience the loss of that dewdrop, the disappearing of it, the appreciation of its beauty, the smallness of it, maybe the not wanting of it, or the wanting of it, the wanting it to stay. We experience all of that. And yet, so this is really a koan, this poem. And so I was thinking of that, upon returning here. Also, the experience of being with my mother, who's losing her memory little by little. And so it's really an experience of being just here now, just present, because she doesn't remember yesterday. I mean, she remembers stuff farther away. And she knows who I am, and she knows who she is, and she, it's not like she's completely lost her memory, but or her mind. But she's 98 years old, and it's the brain is aged, and things are slipping away. So being with her is really about just right here now, which is a challenge, and I say to people, I'm a Zen teacher, and this is a challenge for me to just be in the present moment, and to let go of wanting coherence and logic and rational, because sometimes she starts talking about something and I have no idea where she where it came from or what she's talking about, and this was a challenge. And yet it's completely this world of do. It's just what it is. She's just who she is. She's not who she was yesterday, and I'm not either. But I have more of a cling to who I am, more grasping, and more, the ability to like string together the days and the narratives and the build a story, coherent story or something. Whereas she, I think, has lost some of that facility. And so she's really just with this right now. And when she doesn't know what it is, she kind of pulls something out of her past or something that she knows already and starts going with that. And that's just the world of do. And it's just this world of do. And yet, so what comes, what goes, what doesn't come and go? What do we mean when we say something is impermanent? Because From the beginning, not a thing is. So this notion of impermanence even is wedded in our world of form and duality. The fact that we even say that, that things are impermanent, is saying there are things. And some of you, someone shared on our WhatsApp app group quite a long time ago, that interview, Ezra Klein's interview with Pema Chodron, which I think a number of people listen to, or maybe not. But in that, she quotes Shogyam Trungpa, her teacher, who says, all you need to do is let the thread of nowness run throughout your life. So then there's this question of nowness. What is nowness? And what does it mean to let that thread run throughout your life? Well, it's the same thing as this. This is the world of do, this world of do, or this. There is no there there. There is no now now. Because as soon as we say it's now, then it's not now anymore. And so Shogyam Trungpa is saying, let this thread of nowness, and in English we have this very fortunate use of adding onto the end of words, ness, because it's like the state of, or the being of, the being. You know, in French we have to say, like, you know, we would have to say something like, you know, let the thread of étant maintenant, you know, or something, go through your life. Whereas in English we have this ness that we can add on. So nowness. It's the experiencing of now, of being now, something like that, without fixing it. Because as soon as you say it, then it's not that, as we said. And this poem, you know, Issa's poem is like that too, which is like, you can't get your head around it, really. Which is part of the reason I put it at the beginning of that book. The title of the book is Here We Are, right? And it treats all of this not in a really oblique, it's in kind of an oblique way, because it's always talking about now. Everything in the book is about now. And yet it's all impermanent. And we can't really get our head around, what does that mean? This world of do is the world of do. And yet, the first time I heard this poem, I didn't know anything about Issa's life. I didn't know anything about all the loss that he experienced and the of all the letting go that he must have had to do, you know, and all the pain and sorrow and regret and mourning and grief that he must have experienced. I didn't know any of that. And even now, when I read that poem or think of that poem, that part of the story doesn't really matter to me so much. It's like the poem is not, it's about that. It's coming from his experience of life, of nowness. And yet, it's all of our experience of life, whether we've experienced loss. You know, I experienced the loss of the mother who I knew. I mean, you know, that's kind of ongoing, because the mother who I knew when I was 5 years old is not the mother I know who is now. Or my daughter and I traveling together now is nothing like it was when we traveled together when she was six or smaller. We started traveling to the U.S. when she was 9 months old. And we went every year. So every year was different and different and different and different. or whatever we try to hang on to. It's in vain. And so can we appreciate just this now? Could I appreciate just, I think I did manage to just appreciate being with my mother, where we were, as she was, whatever it was. To such an extent that when people ask me how my trip was, I really don't know what to say. It's kind of hard to, I have to like pull strings together and decide what to say, because whatever I say is not it. And even now saying it, it is, but it isn't. But it's easier to say it in this context, because we know, all of us, to some extent, we know about impermanence. We know about not hanging on to, not grasping, not clinging, even though a lot of the time we still grasp and cling. But and then if we think of, you know, Shogyam Trungpa saying, you know, let the thread, I like this thread of nouns, because it gives it some kind of palpable thing, nouns, and yet it's not. But he puts it in the context of our everyday life, where things are palpable, and there is space, and there is time, and there is distance, and there is before and after. We experience that, of course, you know. And so this, but let that thread always be there. I think that's beautiful. And I don't remember exactly the context in which she said that in that interview. It doesn't matter why she said it, but or another, you know, another poet, because you know I love poets, Paul Éluard, the French poet, who wrote, I can't remember if it's a poem or something else, probably in a poem. And it's kind of like Confucius, what Confucius says about our life. But Éluard says, there is another world. It's inside this one. And it's like Confucius, who said, we have two lives. The second one begins when we realize we only have one. So Edouard, you know, this notion of it's inside this world, it's not actually inside this world, it is this world. Now maybe he presented it that way because then it's more accessible for people, and it works on them in a different way than if you said there is another world, it's this one. It makes it, gives it a different tone if you say there is another world, it's inside this one, which is another way of saying it's right here. So that's about what I have to say today. So if anyone would like to comment, question, share, I would love to hear you as we come to within, you know, space and time, the end of our regular meetings and begin our summer break tonight.
That being said, seeing you all on the screen, I can't wait to be there in Portugal and see the see you all in the flesh.
You finished, Debbie? I guess so. She looks positive.
Yes. Elle est figée on my screen. What Roshi shares about having been to United States and coming back to Paris and these different worlds, that resonates very much with me. Because right now I'm in the north of Holland at my partner's place, and we spent 24 hours on an island in the North Sea. Amy knows this kind of place. It's like, you know, 3/4 of an hour by car and then 3/4 of an hour by boat. And then you are in a completely different world. There's no cars, only bikes. There's sea all around, and it's quiet, no noise. It's so strange to be in this, in a different world. And then tonight we came back, and I'm here again in town. Well, a few trees in front of the window, but, and it all exists in the same time. And in the same time also, there is the wildfires in La Drôme where I live. And that's another reality that is there. And that I cannot really let go of the thoughts of that reality. But in the same time, I'm walking on the beach and I hear the waves and I see this enormous space and I feel tiny. With all this space around me, it all exists in the same time. And it's, Amy said, it's hard to put your head around it. I find it difficult to put my head around all this. The different places where, yeah, the different experiences, the environment, the atmosphere, the people. And it's still, I don't know, there's unity in all that, but sometimes I cannot grasp it or something like that. Thank you.
Yeah, when we have this idea of when we talk about I can't grasp it, I can't get my head around it. There's that quote from Saint Augustine who said, if you can understand, it isn't God. So as soon as we can understand a thing, well, and it's not that. In the sense of course, we can understand concepts and systems and the world of form, you know, that's the world of systems and concepts and things. But the realm of what Christians would call God, Saint Augustine, is what we would call the absolute or the true nature or absolute reality or something, a oneness, something like that. If you can understand it, it isn't God.
Hello, everyone. What the quote you mentioned by Isa, is that the name? Isha? Sorry, can you hear me better? Yeah, so the quote by Isha or Isa, yeah, reminded me or made me think about I came across recently a few essays and stories from a Ukrainian gay writer who fled Ukraine at the beginning of the war because he didn't want to fight. And so he writes about all the people that fled that don't want to fight and how difficult it is for them. And how they are seen as not patriots or, patriots. And so the fleeing and the guilt and leaving their loved ones behind, all of that. And I kind of got hooked to what he writes because in a way I'm not Ukrainian, I'm not fighting the war with Russia, but I relate to the same experience in a sense, in a way. So yeah, it's kind of the same. I think it what you're saying reminded me of that because there's the war in Ukraine, and yet I kind of there's wars inside that kind of I don't know that was just what came to me it's kind of like the experience is not the same but the essence kind of is there in a way like layers of the same. At the same time. I don't know if I'm making sense.
You mean the essence? What would that, how would you call that essence? What is it? Like the.
The I know it makes me think of like if it was with me, what would I do? Would I flee or fight? Something like that. It brings the question to me. I think that's what I mean.
Yeah, we can feel what others feel and feel we are them in a sense, you know, that's true. Yeah. And if we really realize that, well, we won't go to war. We don't, we wouldn't start a war. We wouldn't hurt someone. And I'm not talking just about the soldier, the young man who flees because he doesn't want to fight, but even the leaders who send people to war would not do it if they truly experience that oneness. Which is a very simplistic statement I'm making, but we can see where it goes from. As soon as we create one difference, then we create all differences. And when we create one oneness, or when we experience one oneness, we see the oneness of all.
Hi, ma'am, what you said, Amy, makes me remember this fact of traveling. I had a short trip this weekend, last weekend, but very, it was just 2 days trip and it was in Belgium, so not so far. But still, I had a very, very good time. I met very interesting people. So it was some very complete and strong experience. I don't want to go in details, doesn't matter, but and when I was on the way back, I said, oh, I really have to tell my friend about how it was, you know? And on the same evening, I was in a not party, but gathering with friends, and everybody was asking me, so how was it? So I had to tell them, and I start telling stories, and at the same time I was telling, I was feeling like, ah, no, it's not that. Like, if it was too soon to tell. So after a while, I stopped telling. I said just to myself, it's better not to tell something that use the wrong words, because I was feeling like with these words, I was creating another reality that is was not my experience, you know? So, and at the same time, I really like words. I like, but I felt like sometimes maybe it's better to keep silent on some experiences or takes time to talk about them. So it's the best way to keep them like alive, and the danger to use word when it's too, you're not ready to find the right words. Yeah. So,
Yeah, exactly. And what's important in that story is that you realized when it was not the right words or it was better to stay silent. That's so important to pay attention to that and respect it then, and not be caught in, oh, I have to, do this and I have to make them understand and then it's not that and it becomes, it's not what you want,
Yeah. And I also felt that probably there was also another way to share things than words. And of course, everybody was expecting words, stories, anecdotes. And so.
Yeah, very important. And even whatever words you use are just words, and no one else experienced what you experienced. So there's already a degree of separation from the experience when we put words on it. Sometimes it's appropriate with knowledge that it's already a degree of separation.
Good evening, everyone. I was thinking of even so, we are here and we share our experiences and we dare to share them. And in a way, the fact that we are listening to what Amy or everyone says, even words, kind of no, the fact that I am listening, I can tune or attune, I don't know how the verb is, tune or tuning. To feel, to be with this fact that we are impermanent and our lives are really precious, precious. And because Amy was saying things, saying or telling us that her mother is 98 and I have a mother with 93. And in a way, I didn't want to speak about my mother because, but this week I had this very, very good experience that well, because I don't know, there is a mixed feeling with some days it's really so easy to be with my mother, and other days it's really heavy. And that time we were the two of us. Nobody arranged or talk about I am doing this, can you help me? Nothing. I appear, I started to do because there was a big bowl with spinachus to prepare, and I started to prepare the spinachus. She was finishing the lunch, and one by one the spinachus were scene, and then she stopped and start preparing the spinach too with me, and everything was so easy, and everything was, we are really tuned, the two of us, doing almost nothing, standing preparing the spinach, and it was a very, very big ball, more than half an hour. I don't know, it was time, it took time, and it was so delightful, and really are those moments that I have to be grateful and there to share it with you. And I hope there will be many more with the people I enjoy and other people and expected in any situation. And these are this is really what makes life precious. It's those little moments. Yes, I dare to speak about my mother. Thank you.
Well, and we're able to appreciate a moment like that because of our capacity to be now and not want it to be something else and not want it, oh, there's too much spinach, or I don't like the way she does it, or I would prefer to be reading a book, or just now. That's beautiful, yeah. And all of us listening, so we all have a mother, we know what it's like to be with a mother, we all know what spinach is. We can imagine whatever, and that brings us experience to us, even though we were not there, but we were, says.
Good evening, everyone. Sorry. So this talk resonated a lot of things, but it's too much, and then you kind of get lost. But was more about the thread of nowness, and now you talked again about it. I've been experiencing this last week in Lisbon was incredibly hot. And I'm feeling really drained and exhausted, and I just want vacations and kind of doing. I still think I have two daughters, so I tend in a scholar age. I tend to still think in scholar years. So I'm doing, a bit of a balance about what I have done this year or not, and I'm not really happy. On the contrary, I'm a bit drained and feeling a bit, we say it in Portuguese, with a neura. Don't know the name in English. It's that you're not depressed, you're not anxious, you're not. But you kind of drained and no feeling, no energy. Just want to stop a bit and reframe some stuff I need to reframe. And then there is the practice and the nowness. And I always try to pull to my life what I think Roshi Amy is saying a lot about the retreats, what we do retreats, it's to bring them into our life. And this sense of nowness, the image is right, the thread of nowness, how am I feeling with what I'm feeling. I still go up, clean up the house, feel happy to make stuff that need to be done. I'm feeling a bit unhappy in a happy way. This is in simple English, but what I wanted to share is I think I'm I'm trying to connect to that sense of nowness that our practice, it's always pointing, and the retreats are a good pointing exercise, but of course our big retreat, it's our life. And how some, for me to be a lot the sadness or the mourningness, that pulls me away from the nowness. I'm feeling that, and I'm it's almost like it's puzzling me, you know? It's a contrast. It's okay to feel unhappy with stuff that aren't that simple. I'm not talking about didn't like my lunch or it's too hot and I needed a cool night to sleep well. It's about things I need to reframe. And it's okay, but they tend to pull me a bit a bit down. But if you really let that thread of nowness, you feel grounded because there's space for everything, and you still do everything that it's here right now for you to do. And basically is this. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. But and the, about your lunch or the heat or wanting to have a nice to sleep well. I mean, I think many of us in France can relate to exactly that at this moment, and maybe in the UK too. I don't know if it's it's not like that in Netherlands, Marjolein told me, but and that's really, those things are the same as what we think of as big things that bring us down, or something. There are no big or small things. And we can let the thread of nowness run through our lives, then we also experience those things differently. The heat, the not sleeping well, lunch. Whatever it is, I was not happy with my lunch today, but I had to make it really quickly because I was doing something all morning and I was at a meeting and then I came back and I was in a hurry and I just threw it together. I was not happy with it. And yet, okay, I'm not happy with it, but that's fine. And it's hot. I'm not happy with that either, but okay, I'm not happy with it.
Yeah, I think it's that, but that's fine. I'm not happy, but that's fine.
Yeah. And it's not fine in the sense where I'm happy to be unhappy.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't disintegrate you.
Right. Because I'm already disintegrated. So, I mean,
There you go. Oh, it's
it'd be like that.
the
If you look at it that way, yeah.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, it's good to hear that. I mean, what you were just sharing, Krishan, because I've been looking at my past weekend. Also, was I was with my mother and brother. And not for most of everybody knows about my brother now, but he was in not in a good state. He'd stopped taking his medication and was very agitated and violent with words, and we were in a very tight space in my mom's little house in Normandy, all stuck together. And yeah, and I was trying to respond to the situation, probably not in a very bad way, but there was a lot of anger, violence in the words in reaction to. There was a lot of sadness, and at the same time, being with all that, staying with all that. And this is what it is. But it's and that's yeah, that's what I practice. I practice enables us to do because it's not just in, I mean just it's yeah it's every it's all the time everywhere in every moment and they are Tiago was talking about war and that's that too this is it too and our what I sometimes find you know it's, oh this is the ugliest moment I don't like myself like that and at the same time this is just it. There's nothing else I can be, nowhere else I can be. Nowhere else I'd like to be. I mean, I wish things were different sometimes, but it's just not the way it is. And just be with that. And that's tough. I mean, sometimes it's tough because you don't want it to be that way. But you know, it's letting go of what yeah what you imagine your life should be or you imagine how other people should be or how a situation should be or whatever yeah and also so my mother hadn't been in the house for over a month and a half, I guess, and I hadn't been there too. And the grass had grown up to, I don't know, over a meter high. And so I spent quite a bit of time cutting that grass. It's a small plot, luckily, but it was a lot of work and it was so dry. And once it was cut, it was like a dried up field of just dried grass. All the small flowers, everything had died, dried up. The trees seemed to be doing okay, but for how long, I don't know. The fig tree was very happy, seems to be very happy. It's very hot, so it doesn't have figs, but it seems to be thriving. Yeah, and that's also. Yeah, that's also the result of our not being here and now. That's damaging everything. Anyway, so that was yeah, that's the nowness for me.
Yep. All these manifestations. All of it. All of it now, all of it here. So, it's almost time, so I guess we'll stop there. I guess Lisa doesn't have a bell, but Tiago does, so I guess that's what's happening. Okay. Thank you.